It's Tuesday morning, but here on Prep Sports Now, all we're thinking about is Friday night. Case Kiefer with Ware Brewer. We'll actually scratch that. Not Friday night this week. We're thinking about Thursday because, once again, this year we have a marquee game Thursday. Cheyenne at Palo Verde, seemingly two playoff teams from the Northwest. Big rivalry. Always play each other tough. Ray, are you excited for this game as I am?
I think it's going to be a great game simply because both teams have talented players. And that's a formula for success for us, at least, because we want to see a close game with a lot of points. And I think this will have it. The thing that always stands out is, Palo Verde is the perennial power in the Northwest. They've lost two games in the league since, like, 2006. And every team rolls over, they're afraid of them. Mojave's afraid of them. Shadow Ridge is afraid of them. You know, you can make arguments that every team in that league steps onto the field to play Palo Verde, and they think they're defeated. You could even make that argument for Cheyenne. But I think there's a certain swagger and attitude at Chi-Town. That's what everybody calls it. The kiddies call it Chi-Town, where they're not afraid of Palo, where they think they could step on the field and beat Palo Verde. And I think that little edge gives – Cheyenne just a little bit of an advantage. They're still going to lose, Case. Don't get me wrong. Probably by three touchdowns. But I think they're mentally, the kids think they could beat Palo. And look, last year, Cheyenne, they took fourth in the Northwest. They had some coaching turnover. They were pretty unorganized. They were pretty awful. And they scored right with Palo Verde, scored, I think, five touchdowns against them, kept it fairly close for a little bit. They know they could play with these guys. Obviously, you've seen Palo play this year. Palo is, one of the elite teams. They're number two in our poll. I don't think they lose until, Thanksgiving weekend when they have to play Gorman in the playoffs. But I do think this will be a good game. You've seen Palo. What makes him tick, baby?
I agree with everything you said. And as far as Palo being number two, I think they're by far number two. One thing is I think that this Palo defense, Cheyenne could have some big plays against them. We all know the athletes that Cheyenne has. Not saying anything bad about Palo's defense. It's certainly good, better than most any team in the Valley. But it's hard to match up with the athletes from Cheyenne. I could see Cheyenne scoring, keeping it close through halftime maybe. But ultimately, I like Palo to get the win too.
Okay, let me give you some quick facts because we're all about facts and figures here. Cheyenne and Palo have both played Cimarron Memorial. Cheyenne lost 37-8 to Cimarron, and Palo won 37-18. So what's that tell you?
Well, I've really been thrown off by the Cimarron game because I've been picking against Cheyenne the last few weeks, not thinking they're as good. And then they come back with, look, that was our first game. We were rusty. Maybe I'm starting to believe that because I don't understand. That game just doesn't seem to match up with the rest of Cheyenne's season this far.
Yeah, Cheyenne, everybody's on week three. Cheyenne's on week one. They started so late. So that first game against Cimarron, remember, they were up 8-0. They drove down the field. Then they end up giving up 37 unanswered to lose the game. Maybe some first-game jitters, maybe a little tired because they hadn't played a game and they weren't in shape yet. Nonetheless, here they are, big stage, Thursday night, also the first road game for Cheyenne, Case. And you said they got some athletes. I'll give you one who stands out, Kenneth Counts. He had four touchdowns last week. The thing about Chi-Town is they've probably got more athletes not on the football team. You just walk by that school or drive by that school and you see the kids in PE running around the track. You're like, oh, wow, look at that kid. Or look at that kid. And, definitely passed the eye test. So Cheyenne does have the athletes. Can they out-scheme Palo Verde? Can they beat Palo Verde at being Palo Verde? Because obviously Cheyenne runs the same double wing offense that Palo runs. So obviously, they've seen it before. Can they stop it, though?
Right. Well, I think that it's pretty expansive about that game. I think we both like Palo, but it could be a close game. Now we're going to go down the road a little bit. Bishop Gorman can kind of rest easy. Their national schedule is over. Went to De La Salle this weekend. Lost a pretty close game, 28-14. Have Desert Oasis this week. But Ray, I know you watched all the De La Salle game. What'd you take out of this game?
Well, I think Gorman's a lot better than people give him credit for nationally. Held De La Salle to 60 yards in the first half. Absolutely dominated the first two and a half quarters. Shaq Powell is the real deal. I've told everybody this since he was a sophomore. The kid runs with some anger, dude. He just runs over people. He's got an unbelievable confidence in himself. He showed it. He had a great interception on defense. He ran well. He had both the Gorman's touchdowns. you know, Gorman dominated that game. Gorman is a legit program. They have legit players. You know, I think they actually got pretty unlucky. They're up, you know, at the half 14-7. They limit De La Salle to, you know, 60 yards of offense in the first half. De La Salle's touchdown's a kick return for a touchdown. So technically, you know, Gorman might be up two scores. And obviously, you know, they fell apart late. They end up losing 28-14. They also lost to Hamilton by a touchdown, 24-17. So they've played two nationally ranked opponents. They've lost both games. And they're sitting at 3-2 going into league play. They're going to rock. I think Desert Oasis is the second best team in the Southwest. They're still going to rock and roll through the rest of the schedule. I say kudos for Gorman for taking the game, for looking for better competition, to trying to make a splash nationally, in case they just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, and I know a big question before the year between everyone was how will Gorman do in these national games, and even though Del Oro isn't as good, we counted that too. So they end up going 1-2 against the national programs. But I don't think there's much to hang your head on there. They lost a really close game to Hamilton. I saw most of the game, and like you said, outplayed De La Salle for a long time. If they keep taking these games, maybe in 1 or 2 years we'll see them beat these programs, maybe go undefeated and really make a splash.
Remember, most of Gorman's core key players are underclassmen. I think we talked last week, they start 9 or 10 sophomores or juniors on offense. They got a sophomore quarterback, two sophomore wide receivers, a junior tailback. I mean, this team is fairly young. They're still babies, and they're out there. They're doing a lot of good things. I know they don't believe in moral victories. I know most good teams don't believe in moral victories, but it's not like they went and got, you know, bulldozed by these guys 40-something to zero. It's, you know, they were in the game. They could have won both games. They had great performances by several people in both games, and worst case scenario, you come and you rock and roll through your league schedule, you win another state title, and you saddle up and do it again next year.
And don't forget De La Salle coming to Gorman next year, right? Correct?
That's still a coin flip.
Oh,
it's
still a coin flip.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I thought it was too.
Never mind. All right. Well, if it happens, I think it could be a great thing for Gorman, knowing they can play with this team, hosting them at home. I think they'll have a real chance. Some great games are in the Valley, though. That game was in California this weekend. You were at Del Sol. You were at Del Sol and Liberty. Great game, went into overtime. What were your impressions of that game?
Well, I'm still on the Liberty bandwagon. I still like the Pauley Nation to really make some noise. But I definitely wasn't impressed with the way they played against Del Sol. Give Del Sol a lot of credit. They came into the game 2-2. They, you know, they were runner-up in state last year. They've been to the regional finals the last 4 years, including winning last year. But they started the season 2-2, you know, missing a lot of key components from last year's team, and a lot of people wrote them off. Well, I tell you what, Del Sol is not dead. They played such a great game. They were so in it from the first kick. They played great defense. They ran the ball, which has been an absolute staple of the Del Sol offense the past 4 years. Granted, it never looks pretty for Del Sol, but they always get the job done. Chris Marshall, almost 300 yards. He dissected Case Key for that Liberty defense. For as big as Liberty is up front, I cannot figure out. Del Sol just ran the ball at ease through the tackles. Liberty, I'm so embarrassed they could not make a tackle. I'm here riding this team. I'm telling you, they're nasty. They're physical. They're the real deal. And then they can't make a tackle. I mean, some little kid, number 3, Dwayne Kirkland for Del Sol, great player, you know, mediocre speed maybe. Somehow he runs a kick return back for a touchdown. It was like they were playing two-hand touch. 8 Liberty people touched the kid. He makes it back for a touchdown. If Liberty wants to be a legit player, they got to learn how to tackle, and their physical and big and nasty guys need to be big and physical, especially when the ball snapped, not when it's after. They've had some late hit problems, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, Case. I cannot believe I'm going to say this. Liberty and Basic play this week, and I'm telling you what, if Basic beats Liberty, because Liberty is bigger, physicaler, faster, I know the Basic people don't want to hear it, and I know you're like an official member of the team now. They gave you a jersey. They like you so much, but if Liberty cannot tackle against Basic, they're in for it. And I don't hate Basic. Trust me. I'm a wolf pack, you know. Once a wolf, always a wolf. I had a lot of friends that went to Basic, even though I went to Shap. I dated a girl that went to Basic. You know, I'm a pro Basic guy. But there's no way that Liberty should lose to Basic. And I know you've seen both teams like 20 times. You know, you're, I think you're at every basic practice. You know, you take the coach out for beers. Could basic beat Liberty, or am I I've had too much vodka in the morning?
They could beat them. I really do think they could. Of course, I'm still going to pick Liberty. What you're saying about the Del Sol game, it surprises me that they didn't tackle well. It surprised me they didn't stop the run well, because they have done that all year. But not totally. This game just looked like a classic spot for Liberty to kind of, I don't want to say come out flat, but come out not as sharp as they were. Look, they put so much into the Silverado game. When they shut them out, it was like, I don't want to say it was their Super Bowl, but it was huge. I mean, this was probably the biggest regular season win ever as far as how they treated it and how excited they were. And maybe they were underestimating Del Sol. I mean, Del Sol is still... as far as a program, year after year, the class of the Southeast, I think that they didn't think Del Sol was as good as they are. I'm not surprised Del Sol caught them off guard. But I don't think teams make that same mistake twice. I think you kind of, to a bigger degree, saw the same thing with Basic get beat by Coronado. They came back really focused last week, beat Silverado. I think this could be a great game. Basic beat Liberty last year. I still like Liberty, but I could see it going either way.
Basic beat Liberty by like 2 points last year. Here's what I'm trying to say. Gorman, Palo Vegas, they're not going to lose to Coronado. They're not going to come into a game against Del Sol where they're going to win by three touchdowns and get a miracle to win in overtime. And that's the difference between Liberty and Basic, two teams that are nice, but they got to turn it on every game to get to that upper echelon level. Where, you know, Palo, Gorman, Vegas, they're not going to have a down game. They're not going to overlook a Coronado. They're not going to come out and go through the motion seemingly against, you know, Del Sol. Yeah, you beat Silverado. So what? You lose your next whatever games. Is that Silverado win going to look good when you're watching the playoffs from your sofa with a bag of potato chips? And that's the one message I think Rick Moracco has got to be hammering home to those guys, is get ready to play every week like you're playing for something. You know, you are. Liberty's got a chance to be playing like in December. That's when they hand out trophies, Case. And Jesus, they didn't look like it against Del Sol. You know, Basic's a great story. If Basic wins this game against Liberty, maybe I don't know anything. Okay, I think I know a little bit about high school football. And I think that in all football, you played. I didn't play. But isn't it bigger, stronger, faster equals victories?
No, not always. I mean, sometimes it's the more disciplined team. It's a team that you know, everything matters. Play calling, you know, going into that game, who's got the edge. I really think it go either way. And I don't think the Vegas comparison is fair. Vegas shows up every week. They went to Utah and got beat by 50. And not to mention, we don't know if they're going through the motions in town, because they're playing El Dorado, Sunrise Mountain. I mean, they could go through the motions and win by 40.
Vegas is a dynasty. They went 2 years without winning a game. I mean, without losing a game. Vegas is Vegas. They're legit Pharrell Victor, baby.
This is now. We're looking a couple years. Okay, we're going to move on to the games now. Forget about Vegas until we get to their game. Final thoughts, Basic versus Liberty. How big of a – I know you like Liberty. By how much you like
it? I like Liberty. The game's at Liberty, which means Basic's going to be right in the, you know, the way of that hawk of fire up dance. I set the line at 11 Liberty, and I think they cover, baby.
Ooh, with a line, I think I'm taking Basic, but I like Liberty to win. But maybe by a touchdown at the most.
Well, if it's a touchdown, then Basic can pull the game out. Basic wins every game they're not supposed to win. Somehow they pull it out. It's like Houdini sometimes. They escape, you know, unscathed. Anyways, enough on that game. We both like Palo. We both like Liberty. No questions asked. Put it on the board. Change your standings at home right now.
All right, next we've got Coronado at Silverado. Right now, Coronado is ahead of Silverado in the Southeast standings. Silverado 0-2. I think it's pretty safe to say they're done if they lose this game.
Yeah, Silverado needs to win out, Case. Maybe their passing attack isn't as good as we thought it would be. To get shut out by Liberty, to struggle like they did last week against Basic. I believe they scored a late touchdown to get in the 20s. Offense just isn't clicking right now. I know a lot of people thought that Randall Cunningham was going to come in, that he was a savior, you know, NFL great. But the offense isn't clicking right now. Silverado just has too much talent. Coronado's got no chance. Silverado wins. Are they going to be able to win out and make the playoffs? I doubt it.
Silverado wins 8 interceptions already. That passing game really has some work to do. God, we just good matchup after good matchup in the Southeast. Del Sol at Foothill. We finally get to find something out about Foothill after they've spent the whole first 2 months playing middle school teams.
Yeah, their Pop Warner schedule is over. They beat up on Boulder City last week. Big step up in competition with Del Sol. I mean, we just do not know. We know Connor Afoa is good. I think Parker Riggins good, even though he didn't look that way against Basic in the playoffs last year. We know Kyle Keplinger is good. We know Keegan Buck, the linebacker, is good. But, shoot, they've been good against Desert Pines, you know, Green Valley, Boulder City, the great Bonanza defense. Let's see how they are against a real team that's physical and nasty like Del Sol. And I think Del Sol, even though they lost to Liberty, even though it was gut-wrenching, up by 10 with under 2 to go and to lose the game, I think Liberty's got a little confidence. I mean, Del Sol's got a little confidence back. I'm taking Del Sol, and I still think Foothill's good, though. I just – we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I think I like Del Sol a little bit. Foothill, I remember the first week I was hyped up. They scored 44 on Bonanza, and I was thinking, wow, this team must be the real deal. Well, that was before I knew that an 8-man team from Kansas could put 50 on Bonanza. That defense is a disaster. So I lean Del Sol, but this could go either way.
Could I interrupt you real fast? Basic fans, I just want to let you know that before the year started, he liked Bonanza. Now he likes your team, okay? See what happened to Bonanza. Maybe you should start wanting me to like you, baby.
That's never going to happen, so they might as well stick with what they can get. Next game, Desert Pines and Valley. Desert Pines, a big win over El Dorado last week.
I still think for as bad as Desert Pines started, that they're, you know, on that second tier of teams in the Northeast. They do have some good running backs. I like Desert Pines. I think Valley is struggling right now.
They're going to crown a homecoming king this weekend at Sunrise Mountain. Sunrise Mountain hosting El Dorado. Any chance that their homecoming ends with a victory?
Let me ask you this question. How do you have a homecoming game when you haven't had a graduating class yet? Isn't homecoming when alumni come back?
That's what I thought.
Okay. Well, that's a stupid thing. I mean, just call it a welcome dance or something. Don't call it homecoming.
Oh, that's a really good point. Okay. Really good point. I never thought about
that. I'm not a stickler for the rules, but I like El Dorado. Listen, the kids on the varsity for El Dorado and Sunrise Mountain used to be on the same team. This is like a scrimmage game. I don't think anybody in the Valley cares about it, but we still have a crush on Ja'Cory Williams. I'll take the Devils.
Las Vegas at Chaparral. I mean, I guess we know that the Wildcats are going to show up, but even if they didn't show up, I still think that they would win this game by a lot.
Listen, Hassan Henderson hasn't been as good as you'd think this year for being a junior, 6'4", runs like a deer. He needs to break out of his slump. I think my Cowboys are a perfect team to do that. Hopefully they can get 11 healthy kids to dress. Shap hasn't won a game case since I turned 30. I don't think they have a chance to do so now. Vegas is going to beat them big. Hopefully Hassan Henderson for Vegas gets healthy. I will tell you, Vegas coach Chris Faircloth went to Shap. I went to Shap. He will not cover the number, whatever it is, this week.
Canyon Springs looks to be easily the second-best team in the Northeast. They're playing Rancho, who also is going to make a playoff push here. Can Rancho pull the upset?
Well, I tell you, Malik Brown is one of these kids who's under the radar. I know a lot of times you get a team that's in that Northeast and you don't know about their kids, you know, like Ja'Cory Williams. But Malik Brown, the tailback from Canyon Springs, is the real deal. Rancho's got a lot of confidence. They're undefeated in league, but they're very young. Measuring stick game for them. I think Canyon Springs is the second best team in that league. I'll take the Pioneers, baby.
To the game you're going to be attending, Bishop Gorman at Desert Oasis. Desert Oasis, I don't want to say it was a statement game, but for me, it was a statement game. They just destroyed Spring Valley last week, an easy playoff team in Spring Valley. I think it was 35-7. Gorman has to go to Desert Oasis. How close can Desert Oasis keep this game?
Well, I think they actually might keep it semi-close. You covered the game last year where Desert Oasis got some lucky bounces and kept it. You know, the most respectable score against Gorman all year was what Desert Oasis did to them. Not bad for a third-year school. Gorman, maybe they got a De La Salle hangover, even though I just said earlier in the podcast that there's no way that they would have a Liberty hangover. But this is the one, I think, if you're looking for maybe – you know, Gorman could get upset if all the stars align. This could be the week. Desert Oasis is very organized. It's a great program for only being 3 years. And I think Desert Oasis, you know, they're not going to shock the world. But I think if they keep it under 30, it would be respectable and it could give them a little bit of confidence. I like Gorman to win big. I'm interested to see how they play, considering, you know, the harder their schedule's over with these powers. And mentally, you know, do the kids listen to this podcast where we say, hey, you're not going to be challenged again until you play Palo Verde, and they just throw the Gorman uniform on and think they're going to win?
Exactly. Pahrump Valley going to Bonanza, two of our favorite teams.
Well, Pahrump Valley could be going to Bonanza's fifth grade team and have troubles. I tell you right now, they shouldn't be in the league. It's a darn shame for those kids. Deshaun Martin, add to your stats, baby, this week. Get your college scholarship.
Yeah, Deshaun Martin's going to have a gigantic game. I like Bonanza as well.
Hopefully, Case, I know Dupree's probably not listening. It would be nice if you could call us on a game night.
Next, we're going to go Spring Valley at Durango. Really good game. Two probably playoff teams in the Southwest. Durango, obviously, won a couple games in a row. Spring Valley coming off that loss to Desert Oasis.
I mean, this is a bit, I cannot figure out. You said you can't figure out Foothill, and I can't figure out Foothill either. Tell me about Durango. They beat Del Sol. They almost beat Basic. They almost lose to Clark. You know, they got to put up 77 against Bonanza, and they're worried because they can't stop Deshaun Martin. I can't figure it out. Spring Valley kept it close against Liberty. I think Durango is one of these teams that constantly overlooks over people because they think they're better than they are. I thought Durango was the second-best team in that league. I think Spring Valley pulls the upset here is what I'm saying. I upset special, Spring Valley on the money line, whatever it is.
A week ago, I probably would have taken Spring Valley. Man, we're all about the betting references today. But after Spring Valley's big loss last week, I don't think I could take them. I'll take Durango as well.
I think Desert Oasis is better than you give them credit for.
Obviously. Okay. I admit I'm wrong. Okay. I mean, to win 35-7, like I said, that was a statement to me. Another homecoming, Clark, and obviously this school has a history enough for you to be satisfied for them to have homecoming. They're hosting Western. Got to like Clark in this spot.
I like Clark, and here's the deal. What a great game this would have been in, like, the 1970s. You know, one of the top, you know, there used to be, like, 12 schools in town, and Clark and Western, what a big game. You got all the great players who've played for both those teams over the years. God, we would be at that game in full force. We'd be talking about them on our podcast. Now it's like, oh, boy, Clark's playing Western. Who wants to call the coach of that game? Let's flip a quarter.
Well, I mean, we're all about solutions here. It's a homecoming game, so conceivably some of those kids could be back. Why don't we just suit them up and have an alumni game? Yes. There we go. That would really switch things up.
Yes, that's a great idea. I like your way of thinking.
There we go. Two teams that last year, this was just absolutely classic game. Both times they met, both programs a little down this year. Cimarron at Legacy. Cimarron has been a little bit better than Legacy thus far. Only lost one game, where Legacy, I think, three losses now.
Yeah, here's Legacy's problem. They lost so much from that team last year. I thought they'd be able to rebound. I thought they had this big D lineman, James Price. Price is no longer with the team. LJ McMorris, who I still think is a stud despite his struggles and his ankle injury, he gets hurt. Legacy cannot throw the ball at all. They're down by two touchdowns with five to go against Faith, and they're running the same plays they were in the first quarter. You got to like Christian Brown and Cimarron.
Centennial homecoming as well, hosting Mojave. They can probably name their score here.
I would agree with you. What a great idea. If you want to have a good homecoming week, let's get Mojave on the schedule. I think them and Pahrump play more homecoming games than any team in the Valley.
And Sierra Vista. Right. We'll finish off the Northwest. Shadow Ridge at Arborview. Arborview undefeated. Shadow Ridge lost two in a row.
Hey, Arborview and Foothill, could we get them together to play? With three undefeated teams, Palo, which we kind of guessed about, Arborview and Foothill. And I guess Arborview might make the playoffs for the first time ever. They're going to be in our top 10 poll this week.
Foothill versus Arborview, neutral site. We'll call it the Unsolved Mysteries Bowl.
Yes.
There we go. Green Valley traveling to Moapa. Moapa had a couple tough games to begin with. Now they look like they're on the right track. Green Valley got a win against Coronado last week. Any chance Green Valley can go down there and win in Overton?
Well, I guess. I mean, Coronado beat Basic, right?
That's true.
That's true. Anything can happen. Here's the thing about Green Valley. Aaron Love and Rakeem Griffith are two fast athletes, and Moapa Valley doesn't have fast athletes. So if you could get those guys into some space, I think some things could happen for Green Valley. Ultimately, and I cannot – who would have thought Green Valley, Case, before you moved here, when Green Valley opened in 91, they wanted everything. You know, girls underwater chess, you know, 8-time defending state champions. Girls golf set a national record for straight victories. Baseball, 6 straight championships. Every sport they won. And to believe that Green Valley would lose to Moapa Valley, it'd have to be one of those, like, what is that, the Onion newspaper where they publish all that baloney? That is, I mean, this is like, wow. But I'm picking Moapa Valley.
There you have it. I got to like Moapa too, but I think it could be closer maybe than people expect. Last game, which probably won't be close no matter what anyone has it, Boulder City at Faith Lutheran. Faith Lutheran might be a little frustrated, lost a couple games, should throw all over Boulder City.
They should throw, but what they should do is they should work on running the ball, because we know they can pass it, but they're getting killed in the trenches. And the tape's out. You want to beat Faith? Control the clock, pound it down the middle. Their linemen don't have enough toughness. And that's what you need, Case. You need toughness, like my Liberty Patriots this week.
There you have it. Basic, please stay close with Liberty, because I want to see a good game, because I want Brewer to be wrong again. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now. We'll be back to talk about all these games next week.